funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
Does anybody have a belly still full of turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes?
It's full of something. I think it's gas, though.
Oh, my body is pissed.
You guys are vegetarians. Never mind. So, vegetarian stuffing, non-dairy potatoes.
Oh, I eat dairy. Oh, I ate all of the dairy.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of dairy. I gave up two nights later, and I had all my leftovers in a container, and I was planning on making a normal human dish with all of those little leftovers, one mini Thanksgiving. Instead, the first Tupperware I grabbed was the antipasta.
Yeah.
And I just ate out of that with the toothpicks that were already in it. Yeah. So it was literally just cheese and peppers for dinner.
Yeah.
I've said on the Big Show before, and I'll say it here again, and if my parents are listening, it's the truth. Don't you deny this. My brother is the favorite child. He came home for Thanksgiving for the first time in a long time because he's in the military and he's usually many states away, which was nice to have him home. But my mom did not send me home with leftovers because she sent them back to Virginia with my brother.
Definitely love him more.
They did not even split the leftovers at 50-50.
Did that actually piss you off? Because I'm pissed for you in a real way.
No, I was really pissed off because I made a couple of dishes that I left half of them at my mom's house for them to finish and took half of them home for my husband and myself. And and my mom was just like, okay, see you. No leftovers
so
for
sorry,
Kathleen.
Kathleen. I also experienced sibling favoritism this weekend.
What happened?
It turned into a huge fight.
Oh, you had a blowout with your sister, right?
Oh my God, my whole family was involved. It was everyone against Sam, which means I had to be wrong, but I don't care. This is how I feel.
Okay.
So... All right, everyone take off your shoes. We're gonna
Here we go.
On.
Kicking
By
off
the way,
my heels.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
I'm Bethany. That's Kathleen. This is Sam. We're your three quirky girlfriends. All right, continue.
With zero problems. So anyway, so basically my sister's life is accelerating at a pace much quicker than mine, which has always been happening, which is totally fine in itself. I love her. I'm very happy for her.
Your middle sister.
My middle sister.
Yes.
But it's like starting to affect me now in adult ways. So I'm very family oriented. I visit them a lot.
You're the eldest.
I'm the eldest. Yep. And I love and respect tradition. So when we have our second family Thanksgiving, we go to Brooklyn because my auntie's too old to travel. It's family only people. So when I find out 2 hours before we're supposed to leave that my sister's boyfriend has been invited and it's been that way, I don't know what I was more pissed about. The fact that he was invited without anyone telling me or the fact that they were keeping it from me so that I wouldn't be annoyed by it until we were leaving.
I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Fine.
Your sister lives with her boyfriend.
Not yet, but they will be. They will be. I know, but here's the thing.
That's the deciding. That's like the the thing.
Are they engaged?
Not yet, but they know they're going to be within a year.
And they bought a house together, yes?
They did.
Okay, so that's the thing. He's like a permanent. There's a permanence there.
He's part of the family now.
He's a perma member, and I agree. And I, by the way, love this man.
Yeah.
Like I've mentioned him before, I love him for her, and I just really like him as a guy. As a human being. As a guy, he's great.
For a guy. He's good.
Right? But I think it's because I've held this in my mind. Like, that same circumstance, I would not invite my other.
Yeah.
Not until there's a ring on it.
Because you hold
That's
it very dear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding. Screaming. Problems from 7 years ago brought up. Bite things through. The smallest little Emmer effing thing.
So it's not actually about that she brought the boyfriend. It's about she doesn't hold things as precious in tradition as you do.
I have to imagine it's a nice little cocktail. We got like an emotional stew going on.
Yeah.
Evolving that.
Yeah.
I'm going to play devil's advocate again. Until you live with your boyfriend, I don't know if you can really say that you absolutely, positively wouldn't bring him along.
Maybe, but she still doesn't. She still doesn't, by the way.
She doesn't live with him.
She still lives at home.
Yeah, but they bought a house together.
The semantics.
Yeah. So that sucks, though, that everyone was against you.
Yeah.
Did you cry? I would have cried.
Oh, I did. Yeah. It started as anger. And then, you know, when you have that angry face in your life and all of a sudden, like, hot tears evolve and you felt them before you knew they were coming.
Uh-huh.
That's what happened. My mom's like, why are you crying? I'm like, I'm not. Yeah, I'm crying.
Yeah, because why you were crying?
Please.
Because you didn't feel heard.
I think that might be why.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
Did you want to bring William?
Guys, no, and it has nothing. It's because, like, it's really in stone law to me.
Yeah.
When I'm engaged, you come to all of my family things. And until then, and it's nothing personal.
Yep.
It's just the divide. But yeah. But this week got way huge. But my point to even bringing this up was the sibling favoritism thing.
Yeah.
Because then I felt like mom was siding with a sibling and not a situation.
Yeah.
And that
sucks.
Drove me, like, the two times a year I have a panic attack breakdown.
Yeah.
That was one of them.
Moms can be good at being diplomatic.
Kathleen, did you cry during Thanksgiving at all?
Oh, absolutely.
What'd you cry over?
I cried over not being the favorite child.
Oh, baby, I'm with you.
I cried over being really excited to tell my family that I have two trips planned for the new year. I'm going to Paris and to Hawaii.
Excellent cry.
And my father looked me square in the face and said, "So I guess you'll never own a house."
No, he didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, they all go, "Oh, it must be nice for you to have all this money to travel and not own a house." And I'm a millennial. Owning a house, and I've had this conversation with Bethany before, owning a house is not a priority for me. Mm-hmm. I like my neighborhood. I love my building. My rent is low. I have an amazing landlord. And I, quite frankly, don't. The housing market in Hoboken, where I live, is not good right now. It's definitely a seller's market. It's not a buyer's market. And why spend all of your money to just have a mortgage and not being able to do anything but just sit in your house because your mortgage is two times what your rent would be?
And again, it's not about them judging you for the house. It's them judging your values versus their values and seeing
they're
your
projecting.
Values lacking. Yep.
Well, I think specifically with millennials and then their parents very much focused on material items.
Yep.
Like you got an education or you learned a trade and then you bought a house and then you had some kids. And for millennials, the divide is that we think experiences are more valuable than things.
Which I still, I agree with.
Yeah.
I still do.
Same. Yeah, I'm with you.
But they don't, no one will get it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so that's why I cried.
Bethany, did you cry?
Oh, yeah.
What did you cry over? Was there sibling favoritism?
No, thank goodness.
You have a great balance with your sisters.
My sisters, we have a wonderful relationship and I mean, I know that my younger sister is the favorite, but like,
you're
I know
okay
that
with it?
I'm okay with it because
she's also your favorite.
Well, just because like we're all obsessed with her.
Yeah.
So on like an equal level. But like I'm so, my older sister is the bomb.com.
And a really good mom.
That. She's amazing. Yeah. My mom is just insane and awesome. So, but the reason I cried is because Thanksgiving Day we spent at my mom's house. And then Thanksgiving, the Saturday, mm-hmm. we were supposed to do it with my dad at my mm-hmm. sister's house. So, the morning of Thanksgiving, my younger sister says, "You know, we should call Dad, just say Happy Thanksgiving." So we run upstairs into the African bedroom and we
blaze right over that one.
Your mom keeps her artifacts from childhood?
Yes, in the Africa. Yes, she was born and raised in Africa, so we have all the stuff in Africa. So we go into the African bedroom and we call my dad. And we're like, "Hey, Dad, Happy Thanksgiving." He's like, "Happy Thanksgiving." And my sister said, "Where are you right now?" And he goes, "One block away."
No.
What? What?
And there was this pause, and we're like, "One block away from where?" And he goes, "Your house." He misunderstood and was heading to my sister's house, which was empty, while we're all having Thanksgiving at my mom's.
No.
So not only does he live an hour and a half away, but it's also the tension of like, divorce, we're with mom, not you.
I am so sorry.
So my older sister, who is able to just live life, like starts to laugh. She's like, "Oh my gosh, what a funny misunderstanding." And my younger sister is like, "Oh no, Dad, what can, like, are you okay?" I melt down.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the reason my older sister is amazing is because she said, "Dad, I'm going to need you to tell Bethany that this is okay because she's going to start to cry." And I lifted my head and I was bawling. So like she already knew that this was a thing.
It's a trigger.
So my dad was amazing. My dad was great. And he was like, "No, this is awesome. These are all the reasons that it actually works out. It's fine." He was great about it. But I got off the phone and sobbed. And it was the same thing where it was like a million different things were going on in my life that I needed to cry over. But this was the reason that I cried. I bawled, like head down, heaving, shoulders going up and down. And that was why I cried. But it all ended up being great.
I hope you felt better afterwards.
Sure did.
Sometimes that's like the most cleansing.
Yeah, it was good. And then we ended up having, you know, we had Thanksgiving with him on Saturday and it was awesome. It was so good to see him. And so it was really fun. But that's why I cried.
I look at your Instagram pics, and I'm like, that's a family I would like to be a part of.
You said you wanted to come. You can totally come.
I'm coming next year.
Yeah, we pulled out the ukulele.
Kathleen goes to one Thanksgiving, and I'll go to the other.
Yeah. Yes, totally. Yeah, so I hope that you, listening, got a good cleansing cry in.
This podcast is turning into why did you cry this Thanksgiving? Cry?
It's not the holidays until somebody cries.
I love it. Wait, on a related but different note, Kathleen, you had an awesome, uplifting, non-depressing subject you wanted to bring to us. Please take over.
I just want to talk to you guys about taking care of yourself in general, but more specifically, taking care of yourself during the holidays.
Yes.
Because, you know, Bethany, you said during Headlines on the Big Show the other day, what is it, like the average American only gains 1 pound or something?
Yeah, people give themselves so much crap for like, oh, I'm getting so fat over the holidays. No, most people gain a pound. And also, it's the holidays. Cut yourself some damn slack.
Who said that? Yes. Miranda Priestley?
Everybody. Like, everybody.
No, like that's a real stat? Only 1 pound?
Yeah.
That's shocking to me.
Yeah. But what it is you feel so much bigger because you're eating so much more sodium than you normally do.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of foods that are not foods that are normally in your I don't know how to pronounce that word.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So 1 pound. Don't worry about it.
So if you're listening to this and you beat yourself up over every morsel that you put in your mouth or every cookie or every piece of cake that's served at work parties, because Lord knows there's enough parties going around this time of year and they're all full of food and all full of drinks, don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
Like, you're allowed to eat that cookie. Yeah.
Yes. There's no such thing as good food or bad food, says my nutritionist.
I like that.
And she also she has a really good thing to do. So if you're at a holiday party and there's tons of food around and you want to eat it, think to yourself, what will I have access to, like, all the time versus what do I only have access to here? Like, if there's a really special kind of amazing cupcake, eat that.
Yeah.
If it's like
champagne cupcake.
Yeah, or if it's like a, you know, a tequila, I don't drink that much anymore. If it's a margarita or something, you can get a margarita tomorrow.
Maybe. Yeah.
So probably maybe you have access to a margarita tomorrow.
That makes a lot of sense. I like that reason.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you know a cocktail I've been doing? It's like my little secret because you can't even tell that it's cut in half. I do half seltzer, half white wine.
Ooh, that's a good idea. And you stay hydrated.
And you stay hydrated. It's like a little white wine spritzer. Mm-hmm. I think that used to be really popular in the 70s because my mother, I always see the words white wine spritzer coming out of her mouth.
Sounds like a fun word to say. May I? White wine spritzer.
Can't say it if you have a lateral lisp.
Yeah, so refreshing. So when I go to the bar, I say just half white wine, half seltzer.
Yeah.
And you get less drunk, less fast. But then I say like less embarrassing things.
Yes. When in that case, make hers a double. Because I like when Kathleen divulges.
So that's one of the ways I use to just combat a lot of consumption of alcohol and food during the holiday season. But then also, guys, I just started making this thing on Sunday nights. I make a big batch of this and it lasts me the whole week. I make an egg white frittata.
Mm. Okay. Now, what's not to become the delicious dish, but what do you do? Because I tried to do this once and it came out all soupy and weird when I tried to like thaw it out.
You have to bake it. You have to bake it longer than you think. So I just put like 3 eggs, 3 egg whites, and then I toss in like mushroom, spinach, onion, like basically whatever vegetables I have left over from the week before in the fridge, and beat it all together. And then sometimes I put some feta in there, and then you put it in a baking dish. Like I have a Pyrex dish, a square dish. I pop it in the oven probably for at like 375, and I leave it in there for like 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. You have to check the top and you want it to be firm because you want the egg to cook all the way through.
Okay.
And then you just let it cool. You cut it into squares. You wrap it up and then you take it with you for breakfast in the morning. The egg square is already in the fridge, ready to go.
Can you write up and maybe we'll post something for this on Instagram? Because sure people would love this like really easy, tasty quick fix.
Yes. That's my holiday go-to. Especially in December when there's a lot of cookies and candy and stuff at the office. I want to make sure I have protein in the morning before I dig into the sugar.
That's smart. And speaking to the candy, if you're somebody who has a lot of candy in your office, you can buy M&Ms next week.
Yes.
M&Ms are not a special thing for
the holidays. Why are you looking at both of my eyes
just
at once?
Saying.
But Godiva truffles.
Different.
Okay.
Sometimes different.
Right? I'll give you my dad's rule, which I always loved, and my rule, which I now like. I'm going to preface dad's first because it's more better intended than it sounds. So he's talking about a healthy lifestyle of eating, But anyway, his phrase is, don't worry about what you eat between Thanksgiving and New Year. Worry about what you eat between New Year and Thanksgiving.
Mm.
So I really like that. He's like, this is not the season to start your healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
You just be happy, enjoy yourself, get back on track in January if that's what you're really worried about. That's his. Mine is, I've learned my secret for not overdoing stuff that's going to be bad for my system is that I always make sure I have whatever fruits and vegetables I need to have in a regular day.
Yes.
So if I'm stocking up my plate, I can put whatever the hell I want on it, but I just have to make sure I eat the spinach and like my sweet potatoes first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of filling up on stuff that's going to make me feel really groggy and bad, and then I don't even have room for my good stuff.
That's really good, too.
So then I eat way more than I need to.
That's really good.
It helps. It helps with my mood, too, because if I don't have the fruits and vegetables I'm supposed to, I get messed up. Like, my balance is weird.
Yeah.
I get in a bad mood.
My hint for drinking less is to be put on massive doses of Lexapro because then you just get really sick and you're not supposed to drink anyway.
You can't drink at
you
all.
You fall asleep.
I'm going to write that down.
Massive doses.
That's an antibiotic.
No, it's an antidepressant.
Oh, different.
Or anti-anxiety.
Anti-anxiety.
It gets rid of those
it's
bad
working,
feelings.
Whichever it is.
You're very chipper today.
Just rounds off the edges. There's a couple members of my family who have recently gone on Lexapro, including myself. My goodness, we have a better holiday together.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
We are all just a little bit more sane, a little bit more able to handle feelings.
Depression can be genetic, so
that doesn't
surprise me.
I like this.
I love how I say I can handle depression better after sobbing on the phone for Thanksgiving, but that was different.
It's healthy. You're dealing with emotions, and being able to speak about them in the past tense means you are dealing and processing.
Yeah.
I think it's great to talk about, like, you know, emotions and I don't want to use the word issues. I don't like that word, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and it also made me like so super grateful for people in my life and people like you. And as you listen, like locate those people for yourself who so get you without judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's an easy thing to say, but a hard thing to find. Because in the moment when my sister said to my dad, "Dad, tell BB that it's going to be okay and that you're fine because she's about to cry." She didn't say that because she saw my face, because my face was down. She saw that because she knew me.
Yeah.
And she said that to my dad without any judgment of like, oh, Bethany's about to cry.
Yeah.
Right.
It was like, this is a thing. Here's a problem. We need to solve it.
Yeah. Well, she knows you're a person who feels very deeply, and she knew that you were upset on behalf of your father.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So find those people in your life. And if you don't have them, then it's time to find some other new people in your life.
Yeah.
And kick out some old people in your life.
And also work on communication with yourself a little bit, because there might be people in your life that can but don't, because you haven't found the right words yet.
Oh, that's true.
So there's a small percent of, I don't like the word, I don't like any of the words coming to mind today. Not blame, but like you have something in your power.
You have some ownership
really
over
close.
It.
Yeah. Ownership. I love that. When I was, okay, this is really embarrassing and we're not going to get further into it, but I have this weird regression thing I do when I have my sob fits at home. I always find myself, it's not intentional, I always find myself sitting on the carpet in front of my dresser because that's where I used to sob as a teenager.
Yeah.
I found myself there at 20 freaking 7 years old in a ball sobbing there.
Yeah.
And I only noticed it because across from me is a mirror. So I look up, I'm like, sweet Jesus, you've aged. Wow. But
oh, honey, just wait until you're 30.
But my younger sister, Dominique, the one who's in this long, you know, committed relationship with her betrothed, came in, and she's a social worker now, so she's very in tune with this stuff. She opened the door and she said, no one understood. Like, my trigger was so hard and so quick that everyone was like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
She opened the door and she goes, I'm so sorry that you're hurting right now. Is there anything I can do? And like between sobs, I'm like, I'm okay. I'm like, don't worry about it. I'm fine. And she goes, I want to give you a hug if you want one, but I know that doesn't always help. Do you want a hug right now?
Aww.
And then that makes me start crying harder because I'm like, that's the nicest thing ever.
Yeah.
No, I don't want a hug. If you could stay there in the doorway, that would be great.
Yeah. Speaking of hugs, my sister told me the craziest thing. I feel like that's all I'm talking about is them, but they're on top of mind.
Say it.
Is this, I'm going to butcher the quote, but it's about how we raise little girls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with all of the conversations around sexual assault and sexual harassment right now, I believe it was,
I think I know what you're talking about.
It was Margaret Atwood.
And I might have seen this on social. Oh, speaking of Margaret Atwood, the author, Bethany, I started watching Alias Grace on Netflix.
Yes.
I know you've been watching. It's very good.
Did she write that?
She did.
I've never heard
of
this.
What, she did?
Yeah, Margaret Atwood.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if that's the actual title of the book. I believe it is. But for anybody listening, if you've heard of Hulu's The Handmaid's Tale, that's also Margaret Atwood.
She's skilled.
Hulu, or Netflix rather, was like, oh, Hulu, look at how popular they're getting with that adaptation of the Margaret Atwood novel. Let us get on that bandwagon. So they made Alias Grace, and it's very good.
Wow. I had no idea.
You go, girl. Wow, you've got two really big conglomerates fighting about your own material.
I don't know how old Margaret Atwood is now. I do believe she's still alive. She's probably in her 60s or 70s, but she wrote these books in the 80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like just now, 30 years later.
It took a long time.
Are they sort of like extremely topical for modern day society and also streaming services?
Good for her.
I don't know if this is Margaret Atwood who said this or if that was from another conversation. However, somebody said, don't force little girls to give hugs to people. Because that is essentially teaching them that affection is something that is owed.
Ooh.
Right?
Wow.
It's like, it blew my mind.
Wow.
And I find myself hugging everybody, and I wonder how much of that is me wanting to hug them, and how much of that is me feeling like it's a thing that I have to do.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So that... Take that. Just take that and I'll leave that right there.
Okay. I can't wait to listen back to this and find myself on the floor.
It's so interesting.
It sort of goes along with all the psychological studies and sociological studies that they've done on women being expected to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like when women don't smile, people say to them, honey, what's the matter?
Or smile.
Cheer up, sweetie.
Yep.
But when a guy doesn't smile, nobody says shit to them.
Yep.
No, he's thinking. He's introspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just this whole conversation has made me stop and really think about absolutely everything that I feel like I know.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, how much of that is internalized sexism? How much of that was taught? How much of that is self-imposed? It's a really interesting time to listen and be open-minded and try to keep ego out of it.
Yeah. That sounds like the hardest hurdle for so many people.
Hard.
Keeping ego out of it.
But Patton Oswalt was doing an interview on Fresh Air, and he said that a lot of guys have said to him, okay, what am I supposed to just like double think, triple check everything before I say anything now? And he said, well, yeah, because women have been doing that forever, and they've done pretty well for themselves career-wise. So, like, I think we can afford to maybe carry a little bit of that burden and think twice before we say things.
Did either of you watch Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
There was like one of the last episodes at the end. Leslie Knope, who's the strong female lead in the show, was talking at whatever political something, and then a group of men showed up. I laughed out loud. A group of men showed up, and they're. Wright's group was called He for He. And the guy with the megaphone goes, Leslie, us white men have had a very difficult time with things as of lately, and we're tired of it.
The last year or so.
I think he paused. He goes, pretty lately.
Pretty lately.
Oh, so good.
It's amazing.
We learned a lot right now.
I know.
We have to go over, we didn't even touch on, we have some really good things to keep in mind when we're balancing what we eat through the holiday season.
Yes.
What about physical activity?
Well, Bethany, you just started working out with a trainer.
I did. He's amazing. He came over again yesterday, and he has taught me that you do not have to kill yourself to get a good workout.
Yeah.
Because I was not trusting that like these tiny movements I was doing were going to do much of anything. For example, he has me put like a pretty thick, small band around my knees and then just step to the right, step to the left, step to the right, step to the left. And by the end of it, I want to die.
I just bought those bands from Target. It comes in like a pack of three and it's like light, medium, hard. And and it's how loose the band is.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's insane. But I don't have to run 20 miles and then do a million push-ups because my body isn't ready to do push-ups yet. Like my joints aren't there because my joints suck and my abs aren't strong enough. And it's just understanding that sometimes doing a plank for 20 seconds is as much of a workout because that's where you are.
Yeah. It's relative.
And you don't have to kill yourself
and
to work out.
Maybe just a plank when you wake up in the morning and that's it.
Yeah.
You do what you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of workouts that we think we're supposed to be getting in, the kind of stuff that we see in YouTube commercials and Nike commercials and we see on Instagram.
Like, I don't know, leaning up against, I saw one where it was two women doing handstands up against a barn and doing push-ups.
What's the hardest part of that? Handstand, push-ups, or barn?
I'm like, this is pretty. And they're all in like short shorts and little bras doing push-ups as buddies against a barn door.
And you really think that you have to absolutely kill yourself and that's a proper workout. And maybe a proper workout is just a walk around the block.
Yes.
Just to get your brain going.
Dave, just move your body a little bit at least. And it's so hard because a lot of people are all or nothing.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I'm home for the holidays. I'm not by my gym, so I don't have time to take my spin class or my bar class. That's it. I'll see you when I get home. It's easy to be that person. I'm that person too. But like, you know, there are things you can do in a short period of time that doesn't require, and here's my biggest button that is muscular based. It doesn't have to be cardio, so you don't have to sweat.
No. Because
a lot of time I'm like, I don't want to sweat. I look nice. Like, I got crap to do.
My eye makeup is on point today.
Like, seriously. But there's things like, what did I read once? A girl went, every time she had to pee, she did 30 squats.
Oh, that's good.
That was it. So that's quick. You're in the bathroom, and it just kept her body moving while she was on this holiday with her family.
I love that idea.
Right?
So, and it's a good reminder.
Little things.
Something I've been doing lately, I went probably 2 or 3 years ago, I went on a following binge on Instagram because all of these fitness people on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if I'm scrolling through Instagram and I see something that makes me not want to be myself or makes me feel bad about myself, boop, unfollow.
Good.
See you.
I love that.
I don't need your workout tips. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm good, thanks.
I love that. You know what else? I have a friend who, and I know this can be complete BS, but I didn't really know it was a thing. So we're all very familiar with like breast augmentation. That stuff's like normal, you know, whatever. It's common.
Yeah.
I did not know how underspoken and quiet butt implants were.
Oh.
Because I would see them on Instagram and I'd be like, oh my God, she must have been working for so long with like to get this butt.
Yeah.
And I have a friend who's in the fitness world and we went through accounts and he would go fake. Fake.
Really?
Fake. And they were people who, you know, are working toward that. And he goes, I forget what number it was, but he's like, this is the percentage of the population that have the genetics to look that big and strong, even if they are that strong. He's like, if you look at fitness competitions, women's butts are really tight and toned, but do you know how hard it is to make them big?
Big.
He goes, butt implants, not talked about. I don't know if it was like true as far as like he was just taking a crapshoot. He might have been wrong with a lot of these people, but
that's
knowing that makes me feel like, okay.
I wonder what that feels like because you don't sit on your boobs when you get breast augmentation.
I've heard it's very painful, actually.
Butt plant?
Like, you cannot sit because my stepsister knew somebody who got them done, I think, and she said that, like, you can't sit for long periods of time because it starts to hurt because you're sitting on semi-hard plastic, you know, you're sitting on silicone, whatever, and then they can go wrong. I think we've all seen the video of the woman who could flip hers inside out or like around.
What?
Because she got it done, and she got it done probably in a very cheap place, you know.
Sometimes people go out of the country, they go to South America,
and she was able to flip it around within her butt so that you could see the flat side, and then flipped it around.
Nope.
I mean, great for a table if you're at a crowded bar. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but but I didn't realize they were that.
It's a good
huge
party trick.
Oh my God.
You want to see my butt flap?
That.
Yeah. I had no idea, but so now I'm kind of curious.
It's just interesting to me. And I don't know. And maybe that says a negative thing about me that I feel better knowing that information, but I do.
Well, no, I don't think that's bad. I think it's just
Hey, if you want to get button plants, by all means, get button plants. It's just very interesting that it's not as widely talked about as other types of augmentation that are more widely accepted.
Yeah.
Who's the woman I'm in love with because she's so open with her work? Christy Teigen.
Her
cheeks were complimented and she goes, thank God, because they're the only real thing on me. Like, I think that's great. Talk about it.
Yeah.
Setting very honest expectations, and I love that.
Yeah.
It's good for little girls, too, that they know that not everything on your favorite supermodel is real.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, over the weekend, and I am in no, I'm not comparing myself to any of these people, obviously, but like, on my Instagram over the weekend, I posted a picture of myself with my sister's cat.
And like, you comparing yourself to your sister's cat?
I'm so pleased that your sister got a cat.
She did. She got a second cat. This is Frances.
Who's in love with you, by the way.
I love her. But if you swipe over, there's a picture of her curled up on my neck and my head is craned away from the screen.
Aww.
Girl, I zapped out every single acne scar I had in that picture.
Hell yeah.
Zapped them out.
Hell
zapped
yeah.
them out.
I do that too.
Oh yeah.
Someone
They're
asked
gone.
On Instagram once. Someone's like called out a, I do that with the skin, you know, whatever. Someone asked, I don't know how, but like something was asked, and then another listener was really sweet and defended me and was like, Sam would never do that. Like, that's, you know, how dare you, whatever. And I responded to her, I'm like, you have no idea how much I appreciate you being so defensive of me, but yes, I do.
Yeah.
But unless there's a photo where you're like, no filter, or here you go, here's, you know, that's something. But as far as an everyday post, hell yeah.
I'm going to get rid of that zit.
I got pubescent face, kid.
Yeah.
In all the bad ways.
Same.
I thought
same.
I was supposed to turn 30 and my acne was going to go away.
Yeah, I thought that too.
Who told us that lie?
All lies.
I don't like it.
I've had acne since day, I was in kindergarten when I got my first pimple.
Yeah.
And it hasn't
Goodness.
Stopped.
Yeah, when I was 9 and I got my first cellulite dimple, I was like, Mom, look how cute it is.
Aww.
Little did I know,
dimple.
More would come.
Yeah.
God.
Life is fun.
So the holidays.
Show this podcast to your daughter.
Yeah,
so the holidays. So don't beat yourself up. Be kind to yourself.
Yes. And what did we learn this week, ladies? Great. I'll go first. I learned that it's very difficult to find, not all deodorants are created equal.
Oh dear.
It's so hard to find ones that match. I use a certain, I think I use, what does I use right now? What is? I use Speed Stick right now.
Yeah.
And I used to use the same like line, like they have many kind of lines within. I used to use the same line and I was like, let me use a different kind of secret. And it doesn't work for me. And I bought another smell in the same new one, and it doesn't work for me.
So your body's pH has changed.
What
your body's
hell?
Chemistry has changed.
No, I can go back to the original secret I used to use.
Oh,
but like the same company has like different lines.
Different chemicals.
It doesn't work for me. It's so weird. I'm sweating right now talking to you. I have pit sweat, and it smells good, but also bad. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
That's
I can
what
see
I
how
heard.
You would feel conflicted.
Yeah, deodorants.
Time
not a fun
to
game.
Douche your pitters with apple cider vinegar.
Oh,
that's not a thing. That's it. Please, I'm not a doctor.
Do
don't do it.
Be
that
careful.
Was a joke. That was straight up a joke.
Kathleen just loves that ACV.
Yes, I do. I learned this week that you should not go shopping in the middle of the night. I was having some stomach pains after a huge Thanksgiving dinner.
Fair.
And I woke up at like 2 a.m. and I was like, phone, reach my phone, because that's the only thing to do in the middle of the night when
totally.
You're in bed. And I bought $200 worth of yoga pants.
Yay! uniform!
Do I have room for $200 worth of yoga pants?
Who cares?
No.
You're going to look and feel adorable.
Do I even have $200 available to spend on yoga pants? No. But they're coming in the mail. I don't even know what colors or sizes I got.
Yeah.
It's all a mystery.
Yeah.
Don't go shopping when you're sleeping.
Yeah. I've done that.
Can you video them and send it to me?
I know.
Open them with
opening up my Fabletics bag.
Do an unboxing
it's like,
video.
Oh, these pants on these pants on these pants.
I love you.
They're having a 50% off sale. I couldn't help myself.
Fabletics is pretty great.
Yeah, I like Fabletics.
You have to sometimes.
I have a subscription. No longer need it because I now have 8 new pairs of yoga pants. So
you're done.
Yeah.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
If you are...
Hello.
I'm hungry and it just... when I'm hungry, it just sort of talks from my stomach. If you are starting a company... think very strongly about the name of your company and how it's going to look in a sentence because
Poop McFart Incorporated didn't work out for you.
Not great.
I love that.
Not great. If you want the website, I'll sell it to you. So I bought something for a Christmas gift from a company called Alternate or alternative. Whatever. It's a one word company.
Okay.
And so I keep getting these emails saying alternative purchase. And I'm like, wait, what did they swap out?
Oh.
Or your alternative shipment is coming. I'm like, what did you switch out? Because I needed that one.
And
they've emailed me 3 times now.
That's so great.
And you freak out.
Verifying your alternative purchase. I'm like, I didn't verify anything. So just think about it before you do it.
I see this 7-minute panic attack in Bethany, and I see here's what she does. Her cat, like, spine gets straight, and then she puts both hands up like she's about to cover her temples, but instead she flips them sideways and holds them an inch away from her face.
Like, what am I doing?
What's happening? I want that item.
I have the memory of a goldfish, so every time the email comes, I forget about it.
Oh, Dory.
I'm like, oh, no, I don't want an alternative receipt.
I like that sweater.
Like the first one I bought. I don't want a different color.
This is cute to
me. So anyway, also, if you buy from that company, just be prepared for the mind that's going to come.
In your inbox.
In your inbox.
Can we do a quick PSA for our listeners?
Please.
Email us your actual living address, which sounds really personal, but we would like to send you something.
Yeah. Our email address is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
Anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
I really messed up making our email address. It could have been much shorter.
I see what you were going for, though.
We promise not to stalk you.
No.
We just would like to know where you live, because maybe we love you a lot and maybe we want to send you something.
Got a carol.
We should probably put a date cap on that.
Oh, yeah. When should people send it by?
December 15th.
December 15th.
That's
send
my
us
birthday.
Your address. Oh, that's right.
Yes,
send
it
us your address by December 15th so we can send you something.
Also, the final two episodes of Labeled, my web series, came out on Monday. Please, please watch them. Share them with your friends. We're really trying to show anybody who maybe has power in the network marketing in the like television network industry.
Yes.
That this is worth taking a chance on. So go to labeledseries.com and watch the whole season, episodes 1 through 6, plus there's a blooper reel. We just have amazing people who've been working basically for free on it, and we are super appreciative.
I'm going to pour myself a white wine spritzer and I'm going to watch the last 2 episodes.
Dr. Mike is in episode 5.
Well, we love Dr. Mike.
We do.
Ow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was not right.
Brains and
ow,
beauty.
Ow, ow, I have a boo-boo. I need help.
Ow, I need a doctor.
Oh, guys, thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for your comments and your ratings. Share us with your friends, because the more people that do that, the more we can like do stuff with, for, and to you.
And to you.
Specifically to you.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter @AcquiredPodcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On the Facebooks, just search Acquired Taste Podcast.
Yep.
And anything else?
That's it.
Just stay tuned for more goodness.
Hi, we love you.